And it is 12:05. Hi there, I'm Mary Lynn with you weekdays, noon to 3.
Good afternoon. My name's Diane Ducey.
And we've got a guest on the phone with us, licensed clinical psychologist who has talked on many topics. He works with families, family dynamics, and he's been a guest on our show before and is always a fascinating person to talk to. Tom Campion from Campion Barrow & Associates. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, thank you for being on. I know you're out of state, and, you know, this is your lunch break, and you're chatting with us. But, you know, in light of the in the Casey Anthony verdict that came out yesterday where she was not guilty on all of the major charges, you know, there's been a lot of reaction. There's anger. There's a feeling that it's not fair, you know, because there's a little two-year-old girl and we don't know what happened to her, and she was an innocent little girl and she's no longer with us. And so I think we all seem to have a vested interest in this case, and I think a lot of us feel that it's just not fair in the end. And what do you say to that?
Well, it's like the O.J. case back in the 90s, where you have a very high-profile case situation. You're really at the will of how it's being covered, the information that's flowing from it. It's obviously a very emotional case. It's a case that can hit home very closely to many people, mm-hmm. Especially mothers. So you're talking a large population, be able to emotionally connect with this and see a child, an innocent child, suffer through a situation and the tragedy of that. And so it builds up a lot of momentum and a lot of emotions around it. I mean, yesterday my wife was telling me that Facebook just was exploding with the outcome of this and how outraged people were. And that was kind of her comments. It was just complete outrage of this. And the emotional fallout of anger and hostility was really mind-boggling to me. And you mix that with the emotions of a mother and a child, and mix that in with fairness and our judicial system, you've got a pretty hot concoction.
Right. And I mean, you know, obviously with the judicial system, it was fair. A trial was had. Prosecution had an opportunity to prove its case. They weren't able to do that beyond a reasonable doubt, according to the jury. Jury came back, said not guilty. It doesn't mean that Casey Anthony is innocent, but it does mean that she's been found not guilty of the charges, the criminal charges that were filed against her. And, you know, even outside the courtroom, people were yelling, no justice, no justice. There was a woman who passed out. Yeah, how should people deal with their anger? I mean, you can't do anything. It's done. It's over.
Yeah, I had a friend tell me, he said, you know, what's fair? That's a place with rides and cotton candy. There's not much to say other than we just don't understand, especially in the judicial system, like you're mentioning, reasonable doubt. Mm-hmm. What is that? Many times people with hype and communication, how easy that flows nowadays, can be quite guilty before even their trial. And so we don't know all the ins and outs of the case other than what we collect. And a lot of people say, well, that's enough. Maybe so, but apparently there was enough reasonable doubt for 12 people to give a not guilty. And how do we come about with that? Do we try to change our rule of law in our society and the justice system? We throw, you know, everything out because of a situation, or we try to sit back and have some faith in our judicial process, even though at times that may go away quickly. But we do have to look at the big picture as a whole and say, you know, we try to do the best we can in our society. We try to do the best we can with running an organized system here. And there's reasons why things have been put in place. And even though it may not seem it turned out accordingly here, we at least have to say, you know, it was a reasonable doubt, and we have to learn how to accept that.
Yeah, we really do. We're talking with licensed psychologist Tom Campion from Campion Barrow & Associates. Just trying to wrap our heads around the verdict yesterday with Casey Anthony. And you know, Tom, you hear a lot of the psychologists that'll be on the TV shows. You know, everybody, of course, points to her behavior. First of all, that she didn't report a missing child for 31 days, and that she was out partying and everything. And some psychologists have said, well, that's the way she was grieving. Is that the way people grieve?
Well, grief is a very complex process, and we could put some people to mean a lot of very few people.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to take it at face value of what information is coming, it seems to me, one, that there's probably some emotional issues going on here. Two, people I've come in contact with grief aren't out partying, you know, but I can't make a comment on somebody individually. I just say, as a whole, I just don't come necessarily in contact with that, because grief is a process of dealing with really final things being final.
Right.
There's no turnaround. There's no comeback. There's no redo. There's no second chance. And it's really hard for people to process that kind of finality. And it takes at least a year to get our feet on the ground, and then a lifetime of slowly working towards acceptance.
Yeah.
But grief is not something we move forward. Now, a case may be made with denial, so then just move to a form of denial and push that on. But still, at some point, we're going to have to deal with the loss if it's true grief.
Well, and you make a good point there. It seems like more. I just don't know how, if your daughter is missing, and this is a question that people have been asking since the start of this case. You know, if your daughter is missing, and or you think so let's say you don't know that she's dead, but you think she's missing. How can you be out having a good time? How can you be acting like there's nothing wrong? It makes no sense to me whatsoever. And I think that's the one thing that's baffled everybody. And we just can't wrap our heads around who this is. She a monster?
Well, you're right. I have a hard time wrapping my head around that. And I think if we could wrap our mind around that, that may say something a little bit about us, just from the normal perspective, that is hard to comprehend. I have 6 children, and I guarantee I know where they're at within, mm-hmm. you know, 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah,
if
yes.
I don't, depending on what's going on, you want to know. You want to figure out what's going on, or you want the hands they're in to be trusted and understood and know they're actually there, and be aware of that. That's very typical for people to have that. So this disengaged appearance that came through this mm-hmm. is not common. It's not common. I think there's some emotional concerns in this. She definitely wanted something else than what she was dealing with, and that's not uncommon for people to be in, per se, mm-hmm. that we get tired of a level of responsibility, and we feel like we're giving up on some freedom, and so we want to spread our wings and exercise freedom with very little responsibility, or disregard the responsibility that we're in charge of.
Mm. Yeah. And unfortunately, when you're a grown-up, it doesn't really work that way. That responsibility is with you. And, you know, and it seemed like with her mom and dad, you know, grandma and grandpa took care of little Kaylee quite a bit. And, you know, and it seems like when this new boyfriend of hers came into play, you know, mom and dad put their foot down and said, no, we're not going to watch your daughter all the time, because it seemed like the boyfriend at the time didn't want the responsibility of Casey's child, but Casey had a child. And why is it that there are women who will fall for guys like this?
Yeah, that's complicated. It's relationships. I think you spell it very clearly. Somebody who wants to give up responsibility for freedom. And this is something to deal with adolescents quite a bit. They want to spread their wings. They want to be free. Mm-hmm. But they don't want the responsibility that comes along with that. And so as parents, we slowly teach them that with freedom comes responsibility. You cannot separate them.
Mm-hmm.
And as they continue on through early adulthood, hopefully they start to learn that lesson. So we're not going to go out and get in relationships that are destructive. If we end up making a mistake and have consequences, we have to now take responsibility for those, and we have to work with those, manage those, grow through them, and understand that now life comes with children, comes with a mortgage, comes with insurance we have to pay, comes with a lot of other things that, as young people, we realize, oh, that's just given to us, or mom and dad just received that. And so they see a different side of freedom and spreading their wings. They realize, uh-oh, there's a lot of responsibility. I don't know if I want to sign up for this now. And then they try to go through life blending it. I want freedom but no responsibility. It seems to me that's what was playing out here.
With an adult woman, you know?
Yes, with adult woman, nonetheless.
And I think that's what makes it unforgivable, too. It's like, you know, I mean, you had a kid. Hey, take care of your child. Think about somebody other than yourself. And it just seems like she's so self-absorbed. Even during the trial, her parents are the ones who were under the gun and vilified, not her. It just seems like, you know, she just gets to do whatever she wants, be this selfish little brat that not only affects lives, takes a life, even though you can't prove that, and she just gets to go on being Casey. It's infuriating.
Yeah, but there's a concept in life that I really truly believe in, is that we never really escape things that we do wrong or things that go against maybe principle and truth. Eventually, they're going to catch up to us. We may feel like we have dodged a bullet in some aspects of our life, but unless we start to make fundamental changes in who we are, how we think, how we behave, either it's going to happen again, or the consequences of dodging that bullet we'll face later in life. And I think what we're seeing in this situation, I've seen, unfortunately, in other situations, is a repeat in behavior because nothing changes. No thought goes into behaviors, no plan of action, no insight, nobody really walking with them or even the desire to be self-insightful and walk a new journey. And so we end up repeating it, and we see that in relationships all the time. People repeat dysfunctional relationship because no changes occur. It sounds like this is going on again in her situation, or has been, and that's not unlike other people I've worked with, is a constant repeat in relationships.
And the only way they can break that cycle is to come to somebody like you and work through that, but they have to want to do that, right?
Self-insight's very important. And typically working with somebody on relationship issues is that we kind of drawn together with another person. We call them our soulmate or our type. It's usually based on similar intelligence level, perceived attractiveness, and emotional health. And that's a big one, is that we line up with people at the same level of emotional health. So if we tell our significant other, you're crazy, it says a little something about us because we got into that relationship. And unless we start to work on our emotional health, similar emotional health concerns will continue to be attractive. But if we work on that, build on that, then healthier people will become more attractive when we can break the cycle.
And, you know, just great stuff, Tom. And I know we've got to let you go, but I just wanted to ask you one more quick question. And I know this probably isn't an easy answer, but speaking of emotional health, her family, her mother, her father, what they've gone through in this whole process, and I know that, you know, there's a bond there that is her daughter. Will they ever be able to forgive her? Will they, you know, what, you know, you work with family dynamics. That's going to be quite a family dynamic to try and mend right there.
It really is quite difficult, and the publicity behind it is only complicating it that much more. Everything in life, I mean, really, I don't use absolutes very much, but there can be healing, there can be restoration in relationships. And it takes self-insight, it takes a willingness, a desire to, as long as that never, if that doesn't happen, then it's going to be quite difficult. But if everybody's willing to work towards that end, it is quite doable, regardless of the hurdles you have to overcome.
But it seems like she's hiding something, that she's never going to tell the full truth. And I wonder if that family can ever completely be together if she'll never tell the truth.
You're right. You're right. Secrecies are death to relationships. And if we can't be honest with what's going on, we're always going to have a barrier in between that. And she'll be a prisoner to that if she's really holding on to some of these things, just like we are in our own lives. If we hold secrets, we're a prisoner to those and are hindering our own emotional freedom.
Wow. Well, you know, it's always great to get your insight, Tom. And you can find Tom with Tom Campion or with Campion Barrow and Associates. And your website, Tom?
It's www.campionbarrow, one word, campionbarrow.com.
All right. Well, you're in Pennsylvania. Is that where you are?
I am in Pennsylvania in the Appalachian Mountains here. It's beautiful outside and enjoying the scenery and the weather.
You've got a great cell phone signal.
I do. Sprint follows me well.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time today. We really do appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM.